All right. Now, I want to share with you a message this morning that I believe is going to be a blessing to you, because the power of the Lord was present to heal in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. If you look at it on the scripture, in the screens rather, or in your Bible, you're going to see that it happened on a certain day that Jesus was teaching, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law that were sitting by. Everybody say, sitting by. Now, that's an important phrase, because they were sitting by the teaching, but they weren't sitting under it. And there's a big difference. The scripture points out specifically they were sitting by. Now, I don't believe the scripture is without point. Every word, every jot, every tittle is with intention. And we see Pharisees, teachers of the law, that had gathered that day. Jesus was teaching, but they were sitting by the word. Say, sitting by the word. Now, the Bible tells us, though, as they were sitting by the word, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. But I believe that sitting by the word isn't close enough. You have to get under the word. So healing was present. However, they weren't in position to receive the benefit of the presence of God or the power of God that was made available. Now, listen to me. This is a generation that wants the reality of the presence of God. Now we have to give this generation the presence of God, because we are struggling today to be able to manifest a real God in a real time, in a real situation that has real provision. And God can meet all of our needs, right? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I get a hallelujah right there? Now notice verse 15 in this text, Luke chapter 5, verse 15. It said, multitudes gathered together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Some came to hear, some came to be healed. I believe those who were sitting under the word were about to have an encounter with an eternal God, and their lives would be transformed. Those who were sitting by the word would just attend another church service and ultimately go home the same way that they came to the church. But how many know today God wants to visit His people? That the power of the Lord is present to heal. Hallelujah. And if you need healing today, no matter what level, be it physical, be it emotional, be it spiritual, listen to me, God is here and He wants to touch. That's what He does. He is a healing, saving, delivering Jesus. Can I get a witness here? All right. Now, some came to sit under the word, others came to sit by. Now, some noses, I've learned over the 40 years of ministry, some noses of people, if you could put that little slide up, are keen to smell stenches and dull to perceive fragrance. It's interesting how people can come to church and all they see is it half full. They see what we're not doing right. They see all the problems. They see all the negatives. In other words, their noses or their senses have been trained to find out, to somehow locate the stink. But there's others of us who have been transformed by the Spirit of the Lord. And you could put us in the middle of a manure pile and we'll still smell the fragrance of Jesus. Because we know that it's going to be all right. Because with Jesus in the house, you know that God is about to do something miraculous. Now, verse 20 says, as this paralytic was laid down into this room where they had gathered, some to be under the word, some to sit by the word, they were so full that day, the men that brought the paralytic couldn't get in the door. Now, I'm not going to read all the scripture because I don't have time to do it, but it tells us that what they decided to do is come through the roof. And they let the man down in the front of Jesus. Now realize, in this atmosphere of some sitting by and some sitting under, Jesus was presented with a paralytic. Now notice what he said. He said, when he saw their faith, read it with me. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man. Now that's an interesting statement for Jesus to make. It's obvious I came here to be healed. Why would you tell me my sins are forgiven? I'm laying on this pallet. They let me down through the roof. It's obvious I'm in need of a healing. Let's get with it. And Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now at that moment, the room was split right down the middle. Some would say, who do you believe you are? Who do you say you are that you can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Well, Jesus got up that morning and he was declaring himself to be just that. I am God and I can forgive sin. You know, the generation we live in, we're struggling with the identity of who Jesus is. Some of us believe that he was a prophet, some even a savior. But if you were to take a poll of all evangelicals in America and have the options of two answers, either yes, sir, or either no, tell me, do you believe unequivocally that Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven to redeem mankind? Not everybody would give you 100% yes. Today, the deity of Christ is being attacked. It's being attacked on special broadcasts, on our television sets, by various religions and even modernists who proclaim to have salvation, yet would deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke to this man and said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you," something occurred in the spiritual realm. I want you to grasp this today, because if you can get a hold of this, I believe you can get just about anything manifest in the natural. Because out of this sphere of the spirit is where all your provision lies. But you got to get your eyes off of what you can naturally see and begin to get a hold of the natural or the unnatural or the invisible sphere of where forgiveness is birthed. That's really what he was trying to show this man and also all of those who had gathered that day in the house. Because forgiveness is the outpouring of God's love on a sinner, uninterrupted by his sin. See, this is the beauty of our salvation and the fact that God can offer you salvation and not even stutter when he sees you in sin. April 21st, 1974, about 11:20 p.m. in the evening and throughout the night, I prayed the prayer on the back of a tract and I gave my life to Jesus, and something transformed inside of me. I didn't quite understand it, never been to church before in that way, never understood that I could be born again, but the Spirit of God invaded my soul. Suddenly I felt an explosion on the inside. You can't tell me I'm not saved. You see, I've had a personal encounter with a living God. I felt his power. I sensed his redemption, and my sin, my sin, halted him not. He looked past my sin into my heart and said, "I'm going to redeem you." His love, his forgiveness, his outpouring of grace will never be interrupted by your sin. And this is what he offered this man this day. It was a demonstration in the visible sphere of Christ's power in the invisible. Now, if I would can somehow get you to do this, and perhaps you'll do it, I don't know, but I just want you to kind of lean over to the right and make a big circle as if you're holding a big beach ball in your hands. See, that's the sphere I'm talking about. If you look in that sphere, what do you see? You see nothing, but you're not supposed to see anything because it's invisible. Come on, say it's invisible. And the reason why it's invisible is because in that invisible sphere is where your forgiveness has its origin. It's out of that place that Jesus said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." I want to introduce you to an invisible sphere. Why is that important? Because everything you need in what you can see has its origin in what you cannot see. Obviously, the man needed to be healed. But honey, let me tell you something. What he needed was an introduction into the invisible realm that has jurisdiction and lordship over everything you'll ever experience, over everything you'll ever see, over everything anybody will ever do to you. Because if I can see Jesus, if I can see the invisible, if I can see my forgiveness, if I can see my salvation, these things here are surely no problem for God. Come on, somebody say hallelujah here. Come on, give God two praise the Lords. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Watch this. This is amazing. This is amazing. And get with the program here. It's exciting to see persecution coming to America. Whoo! Glory to God. We've watched our brothers and sisters around the world and the nations of the earth be persecuted for their faith. But guess what? Persecution is coming near a city where you live. If our own president can take digs at Christianity and opportunities to somehow declare its inefficiency or somehow deem it invalid and yet remain silent against Islam, who takes the lives of innocents. Persecution is coming to America. Now don't get quiet on me. We have this false teaching, you know, that we believed for years. Do you know what it is? Sickness, trouble, trial. It's your cross. And you need to bear it for Jesus. That's not true. That's not biblical. It's an error. It's false teaching. And it's been passed on century after century into the modern experience of even charismatics, Pentecostals, third wave. I don't know what you call yourself. I just call myself saved. I don't know about you, but I'm just saved. Look at somebody and say, I'm saved. Oh, long about 425 AD. That was a long time ago. You weren't born yet. There was a man by the name of Augustine who was a Roman Catholic monk. And he changed the fabric of our faith and tradition forever and influenced all kinds of movements. Because up to that point, the church had adopted a, what we call a warfare view. Warfare view means there's a God and there's a devil and they hate each other. Basically, the devil's trying to kill you and God's trying to save you. He turned it into what we call a blueprint view. Because Augustine was a predestination philosopher, he believed that everything that happens to a person is God's blueprint and therefore should be accepted. So if you become sick, it's God's will for you, and he might be either teaching you something or he's trying to humble you. No, that's the teaching. And it was adopted by the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, out of that, in 425 AD, various moves throughout the centuries adopted the same view. And now we have a theology that's incorrect, and yet we've adopted it as truth. And the same thing is persecution. We say persecution is when you become sick. And the facts are, I don't read in John 10, and maybe you do, maybe you got a different Bible, help me somebody. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. The devil's only come to do what? Steal, kill, destroy, and by the way, heal you. No, he hasn't come to heal you. He's come to kill you. And while those who have adopted this blueprint view would say that healing, because it's passed away with the gifts and the apostles, is no longer for today, and if it does manifest, it must be from the devil. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't want you well. He wants to kill you. The persecution that coming to the church and has always been in the scripture, I mean, the cross is persecution. Apostle Paul was persecuted for his faith. It was a constant persecution. But I've got news for you. Those of us that understand out of the invisible realm, we're not concerned about the visible. Moses got this revelation. Can I show it to you in Hebrews 11? Look at the scripture in Hebrews 11. This is an important verse for you to get. And I'm sharing this with you today because we are in a shift in our culture and in our nation that soon and very soon, along with these four blood moons, whatever they mean a lot. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's obviously something God must be doing. But here's what Moses said, by faith. Let's read it together. Come on. By faith. What Jesus was doing to the man on the mat, the paralytic, what he was trying to convey to those that had gathered to hear him preach that day was, I want to introduce you to the invisible realm. This invisible realm controls everything visible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Moses was introduced to the invisible realm. And he understood. It didn't matter what Pharaoh said. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. He didn't fear persecution. He didn't fear rejection. He didn't fear the natural obstacles toward his goal. Because he saw something that cannot be seen with the natural eye. And it was by faith. This invisible realm is what controls all visible. Everything in the natural has its origin in the spiritual. So he was explaining to this man, your sins are forgiven. half the crowd was split. It's the Sabbath. First of all, you can't do a healing on the Sabbath. Secondly, only God can forgive sins. Jesus was introducing himself as being God. They took exception to that, but the man got a hold of it. The man got a hold of it because Jesus introduced him to the invisible. Church, I'm telling you right now that if you can see your salvation, you can experience your deliverance. I don't think you quite got that yet, but if you can see your salvation, you can get out of depression. If you can see your salvation, you can see your, you can experience your body healed. If you can see your salvation, you can see your sons and daughters come back to Christ. If you can see your salvation, like Pastor Troy said, you can see three and four generations serving the Most High God. The invisible is this: I'm forgiven. Somebody with sign number one, please join me on the platform. The invisible is basically this: I am forgiven. And because I'm forgiven, I am what?
Saved.
Say it for me nice and loud.
I am saved.
You know, I like that because it's almost like the devil was like acting up and she said, oh yeah, right, I am saved. That was good. That was kind of sassy, a little bit of an attitude. I was liking that. That's good. So can you stay here with me for a while? All right, now I'm an old guy and I'm standing for a long time, so you can hang with me. Because I figured if I can stand, you can stand. Cool? Okay, give me a shout like you're mad at the devil. What does it read on your poster board? Yeah, you got to say it again. There you go. All right. Yeah. Yeah. You see, when you understand what you are, you'll understand who you are. And if you know what you are and who you are, you know what's coming. Because my eye is not trained on what I see, but I have been introduced to an invisible realm. And I've got my sights set on salvation. Can I just tell you, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come on, somebody shout, I'm saved. Now, that was pretty good for a Presbyterian church, but I thought I was in a Holy Ghost Pentecostal church. Come on, somebody, get your hallelujah out and give me an I'm saved. Come on, ready? One, two, three. It's important that we understand who we are, what we are. I'm saved. If you don't develop a God consciousness all day long, the devil's going to mess with your mind. You got to get up in the morning, maybe in the middle of the night. And when you hit that floor, you got to say, hey, I'm saved on my way to the kitchen. You get up in the morning, I'm saved. There's times in your life when you feel defeated, things aren't going well. Dog runs away, the tires go flat on the car, you get a pink slip at work. Come on, your body gets sick. Things happen with your family. The devil likes to talk. What you got to do is get your little poster board out and you got to shout. Go ahead.
I'm saved.
You didn't know what you're getting into when you volunteered, did you? The enemy can only prevail against you when you lose consciousness of God's presence. And losing consciousness of God's presence is to lose the reality of who you are. Look, I went to bed saved, I slept saved, got up saved, drove my car saved, I'm preaching saved, I'll go back in my car saved. Watch, this is crazy. You got to focus on the invisible truth of forgiveness. I've been forgiven. When the devil comes and said, no, you're a failure. Therefore, now there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Hey, devil, I got something for you. I'm saved. Church, you got to learn to open up your mouth and declare, I'm saved. You got to look at your past and say, I'm saved. You got to look at the mistake last night and go, I'm still saved. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Because when you and I are confronted with evil, we're in the middle of a mental breakdown or a mental temptation. When you're struggling in your finances, when you're being tempted to sin, you've got to shout to the devil, I am saved. There's something about the acknowledgement and the proclamation of being saved that the devil cannot stand. The Bible said if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you will be saved. I double dog dare you. The next time you're tempted to click on the wrong site, before you do, shout, I'm saved! And your finger will retract in a moment's notice. The next time you're ready to talk about Sister Yaya over on the other side of the church, I want you just to take a moment and shout, I'm saved! And you'll put your tongue right back in your mouth. Come on, somebody. Shout with me, I'm saved. Where's number two? Come on up here, number two. Where are you? Number two, come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Because I'm telling you, the devil is going to talk to you. He's going to whisper in your ear. Yes, he is. He's going to talk to you like, what do you think you're doing up here in church? And you know you don't belong here. You know that you don't deserve to be here. You know that you ought to be staying at home. You've got to shout something. I'm saved. The only way you can defeat the devil is to tell him what the truth is. Okay, one more time. Give me a big one. Give me a big one. Give me a big one.
I am saved.
All right, give me a big one. Give me a big one.
I am saved.
Come on, church, give me a big one. I am
saved.
The paralytic's healing was an administration or a demonstration in the visible realm out of the invisible. Once he saw his forgiveness in the invisible, once he saw his salvation, healing was not a problem. Because my focus is on what I can't see. I don't fear the wrath of the king. I don't look at what I can see with my natural eyes. I know this, that if I can see forgiveness, if I can see soteria, soteria has healing in it. I don't have to look for healing. I just have to look for salvation. If I know that I'm saved, then provision is coming. Healing is coming. Joy is coming. Peace is coming. Because it's all in my salvation. Come on, lift your hand up and shout, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Woo! Glory be to Jesus. Listen to Mark 16 and 20. And they went forth preaching everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Romans 8, 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? The only way the enemy can prevail against you is if you lose consciousness of God's presence. You got to stop being politically correct. Open up your mouth. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Who do you ask? Everybody you come in contact with. Why? Because without Christ, they're going to hell. Eternity without God. Do you understand that? Do you believe that's a reality? Or do you believe, like many Christians today who are called modernists, that there are many ways up the mountain to God? There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you believe that, open up your mouth and declare, I'm saved. Let that waitress know. Let that accountant know. Let that clerk know. Let that coworker know. Let that family member know. Let them know that they need to be saved. I am saved. Are you saved? They can mock you. They can laugh at you. They can say that's funny. That's ridiculous. Get with it. This is the 21st century. Things have changed. Honey, I got to tell you, he was the Son of God 2,000 years ago, and he's still the Son of God today. It was sin 2,000 years ago, and it's still sin today. I'm not trying to accommodate anybody. I'm trying to take as many people to heaven as I can. And you've got to be saved to go to heaven. And there's only one plan of salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ. Look, I'm sorry. I believe Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin. I believe he grew up without sin. I believe he was suspended between heaven and earth and gave his life for you and me. I believe his blood was shed. I believe he was buried, but on the third day he rose up from the dead. I believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that Jesus is coming again. Why? Because I'm saved. I'm saved. What people need is an experience with God. You can't take it away from me. You can't tell me I didn't meet God. You can't tell me in that old red pickup truck that the Holy Ghost didn't come in there, invade my spirit. In spite of my sin, God possessed me and gave me eternal life. You can't tell me I was delusional. You can't tell me I was confused. Honey, I had an encounter with the living God. Is there anybody in here who's had an encounter with the living God? No, you can't talk me out of it. You can't pressure me out of it. Listen to me, young people. Stop it. Don't let your peers mock you and laugh at you. Don't let those professors in the college campus tell you that it's irrelevant and you're out of touch with the truth. Don't let them introduce you to false religions who have their origins in the bowels of hell. Don't go to the college. Don't go to the medical facility and receive therapeutic touch as if it's some kind of Christianized or revision of healing. It's not. It's of the devil. And you and I need to realize that we're saved. You need healed. You don't need a spirit guide. You don't need the four fields of energy around you to come in contact with the energy of the universe. You don't need a cosmic Christ. You need the historic Jesus of Nazareth who saved you 2,000 years ago. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. And he will save you. Somebody shout, I'm saved. So are you saved? Are you saved? Do I have a third person that's saved? How about over here on this side? Come on, four. The Protestant Reformation, although it introduced us to sola scriptura, in other words, the scripture alone and not the traditions of men that will actually save you. The revolt against the Roman Catholic Church and their doctrine of tradition. Well, we understand it's by faith alone. That's about as far as the Reformation went, because they were cessationists. And a cessationist says Jesus no longer heals because the gifts have passed away because the apostles died. And many of you were raised with that erroneous doctrine. That's why there's a generation today that don't experience God because his church doesn't experience God. How could you introduce somebody to something you've never known? Cessationism. Luther was a cessationist. And the reason for it is because the Roman Catholic Church declared to Luther's rebellion in their sight that miracle signs and wonders attest to the fact that our doctrine is true. They believed in miracles. The Roman Catholics believed in miracles. Glory to God for Roman Catholics. But it wasn't to attest to the fact that their traditions were true. That's what Luther objected to. So instead of declaring, no, we believe in miracles too, but it's not that the miracles verify your tradition. The miracles verify the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. Instead of saying that, they distanced themselves totally with the doctrine of miracles, healing, signs, and wonders and became a cessationist. Passed on for hundreds of years to Protestants, Baptists, evangelicals, even a lot of Pentecostals who rejected apostles and prophets in the modern era as having passed away. The gifts of the Spirit words of knowledge, discerning of spirit. And God's trying to restore it to the church. But He can't restore it to a church who doesn't know who they are. My God, you're saved. Do you understand what that means? You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Woo! I'm saved. And I become a bondservant of Christ, a co-laborer with Jesus. The Bible said He was working with them, signs and wonders, performing them among the church. God's raising up a remnant that knows they're saved, honey. Let me tell you, shout it out. Give me a, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Give me a shout.
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 I'm saved.
Come on, give me a shout. I just want you to know when I'm ordering my Big Mac, hey, I'm saved. When I'm at the bank making my deposit, hey, honey, I'm saved. Say, no, you're crazy. No, I'm saved. See, it matters not what I see in the natural, because I know I've got something from the invisible realm that trumps the natural. 1 John 15:7, you abide in me, my words abide in you. Shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me tell you something. You and I are headed for a Mount Carmel stand down. You know what happened in Mount Carmel? I was on Mount Carmel. It overlooks the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo, of course, is this great place of war. Mount Carmel is where Elijah met the prophet of Baal. He said, let's just see whether your God be God or if my God's God. Oh, God, give us another kind of spirit like that. Give us a kind of a church that says, I'm so saved, I will call you out. I'm so saved, I will tell you what God is about to do. Your God, go ahead, call on Him, and we'll see what God answers first. But I've got to tell you, I believe my God is about to answer from heaven with fire. He's going to answer from heaven. Whosoever God answers first. Saved folk can't hardly wait for the day when we're on the crest of Mount Carmel. And the devil is challenging the church. Go ahead, CNN, challenge it. Go ahead, politicians, challenge it. Go ahead, college professor, mock it. Go ahead, modernist, redefine it. Go ahead, do what you want. But let's see whose God is going to answer with fire. I can't help it. I went to preach it. That's just kind of what I'm going to do today, I guess. Because I'm saved. I'm with you all. I'm saved. Yes, I am. I'm saved. Hey, I'm saved. I'm saved. Oh, yes, I'm saved. I'm saved. Huh? Listen to this. Elijah never lost consciousness of God's abiding presence. I like what he did. Prophets of Baal are like calling on Baal. Nothing's happening. And Elijah said, hey, where's your God? They're cutting themselves. Baal, look at us. Nothing. Elijah's like, what's up, man? Where's your God? And I said, get out the way. Let me show you what a saved man does. It's time you walk into your family and you say, let me show you what a saved father does. Let me show you what a saved son or daughter does. Let me show you what a saved church does in a city. And he poured the water down on that altar, called out unto the living God, and before you know it, tongues of fire came down from heaven and lapped up the water, and it was obvious that day whose God was God and whose God was not. It's coming right now. If I can get some saved folk to come to church every Sunday and declare that you're saved on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and not just on Sunday, but on every day of the week, I'm telling you, there's about to be a showdown in Northeastern Ohio, and God is about to be God. Why? Because I'm what?
Saved.
What?
Saved.
What?
Saved.
What?
Saved.
What? What?
Saved.
Come on, look at three people, say, I'm saved, honey, and you're going to have to get used to it. You're going to have to get used to it. You're going to have to get used to it. I can't help it, I'm saved. Oh, a few minutes ago when they were playing that music, I had to dance because I'm saved. I was crying in worship because I'm saved. I give my money because I'm saved. I pray for the sick because I'm saved. I go to Africa because I'm saved. I give to the poor because I'm saved. I believe God for miracles because I'm saved. If I can just get some saved folk to come to church every Sunday and live it Monday through Saturday, the kingdom of God will come to Northeastern Ohio. I'm saved. Hallelujah. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Say this with me. Whatever I'm ashamed to declare. One more time, say it. Whatever I'm ashamed to declare. I can never possess. Wait, 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 wait. Did you hear what I just said? Whatever I'm ashamed to proclaim, I can never possess. If I can't proclaim I'm saved, if I can't see the invisible, if I can't see my salvation, if I can't say I'm saved. Look, there's times in the morning I get up on the wrong side of the bed, just like you. But honey, I got to tell you, when I got up on the wrong side, I was still saved. Sometimes I walk through the day spitting, kicking the dog, seeing the cup half full. Don't look at me like that. You've had those days too. But I just want you to know, when I go through those valleys, I'm still saved. And I declare it, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for I know that my God is with me. Because why? I'm saved, and you can't do anything about it. The devil is defeated. I know you've been shouting a lot in the church, but one more time, come on, I'm saved. You all right up here? You guys okay? You all right? Now, you've been standing here a long time. You're going to get overtime pay. In heaven. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. I can endure these things because I know this isn't my reality. I've got my eyes in the invisible. And it's only a matter of time before this pallet that used to carry me, I'm going to be turning around and carrying it because I'm forgiven. The man that was a paralytic got his salvation. And with his salvation, he got his healing. Do you realize how powerful your salvation is? I'm not ashamed, for I know, Paul says, whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him. God, I don't understand why my daughter's on drugs, but I'm saved. Devil, let me just serve you notice. You touched my children, but I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I'm saved. The power of God is going to wreck you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I'm saved. That's my house. Get your hand off of my children. You realize I'm saved? Well, no. Well, no. We just got the x-rays back. We just got the test back. And I'm seeing something I don't really like to see in your body. I said, Doc, I understand that. I'm not denying the reality that it might be there. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't consider these momentary suffering light afflictions as anything, because you got to know something. I came in here not as an ordinary patient. I came in here as a saved patient. And because I'm saved, I got my eyes on my salvation. I don't know how God's going to do all this, but I thank you for your help. But I've got a physician out of heaven that tells me that by his stripes, I am healed. Because I'm
saved.
I'm saved.
I'm saved. Okay. Paul said it like this. Say it with me. I'm not ashamed, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power to God. Power of God. To salvation. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. To everyone who believes. Say it with me. To everyone who believes. Okay. If you have your mind and your eye of your spirit on the invisible realm, and it's your salvation, then Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, I think it is, if you can put it up. I'm not sure if that's the right verse, but let's see. Please let it be the right verse. Yeah. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Listen, if I got my eyes on the invisible, I'm going to work that thing out, Jack. Like, work it on out now. I'm working it out, baby. Ooh. I'm working it out. What you working out? My salvation. Where is it? It's in the invisible. And I'm going to manifest it in the natural. With fear and trembling. Because I know that my God's not a God that he would lie. For what he promised will come to pass. I'm telling you, you get a bunch of people that think they're saved, this world is going to go crazy. Because right now we got a bunch of Christians that don't know what they are. Don't know what they believe. Don't even know who they believe in. We all blaming each other. You know, on the gospel radio. Yeah, you know them people over there that believe in healing today. They're from the devil. How can you call a Christian the devil? How can you say to me, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who saved me, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, and I proclaim him to be my personal Savior, and I believe in healing, and you tell me I'm cursed and I'm of the devil? What's wrong with you? We were wrangling among ourselves, trying to disprove the fact that God's not real. Listen, God's not dead. He's still alive. He's alive. And he's alive to those who would declare their salvation. What time is it up there? Because I can't see it. 1:30. That means I got 30 minutes. You know what salvation is in the Greek? Soteria. Wholeness, peace, joy, healing, restoration, victory. You need to meditate on the truth of the fact that I am saved. Meditation on this truth is allowing your mind to hover over the Word, just like the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, over creation. Pick up your mat. Jesus said, start walking. Jesus said, I want you to start walking in what you've just seen in the invisible. The walking wasn't just so he can get from here to his house. Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. Walk in this truth. The church has been paralyzed, sitting by the word, but not sitting under the word. God's come to you today and he's giving you the invisible realm of your salvation. Now he says, walk in it. Everywhere I go, people are going to know I'm saved. Now, I'm not going to be obnoxious. I'll be borderline, but I won't be obnoxious. Matthew 16:23, my last scripture. Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem and I got to die for the sins of the world. And Peter said, No. Don't let it be. And Jesus said, get behind me. He changed Peter's name. Back. It was Simon, then it was Peter, and then it was Satan. No, he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking about the Spirit in him. And he said, get behind me, Satan, for you're an offense to me. Why? Because you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. I wanted to talk a little bit more about touch therapy and about Reiki healing, which is in your hospitals. And I pray that if you're a nurse today, you're not buying into that because it's not Christian. 1946, it was introduced to America from Japan, and a woman was smart. Her name was Dolores something. I forget her name. But you know what she said? I got to Christianize this because the Western mind will not accept it if I don't. So I got to put Christian terms on it, laying on of hands, equate it with what Jesus does. But it has nothing to do with the kingdom. The church is learning to rely more upon pseudo truth, psychology, New Age theology than we are the fact that you have a salvation that is second to none. We have learned to rely upon these errors of doctrine rather than we are our salvation. Listen, Jesus paid too big of a price for us to sit back and give the devil credit. The devil will not heal you. He will kill you. And we need to get our mind on the things of God and off the things of men. My question is today, can I have a saved church? Can I have a saved praise team? Can I have saved ushers? Can I have saved children's workers? Can I have saved altar workers? Can I have people that are saved instead of sleeping around on Saturday night? Instead of people coming in and dogging somebody else out on a Sunday? Can I have a saved folk that'll come up here and say, listen to me, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord? Can I find a congregation that said, listen, come hell or high water, we'll proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to this city and to this entire nation. And but that he slay me, I will still praise him. I don't care what the devil tries to do me. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down because I'm saved. You came to the wrong church. You came to the wrong person. You came to the wrong house. Devil, I just want to serve you. Notice this morning, I'm saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. How do you get saved? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. There's been given under heaven no other name among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. You have to receive Jesus. He is the Son of God. There's not two ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. This morning we're gonna step up some evangelism here. How many have a mother that needs Jesus in their life? Anybody? Yeah, hands all over. Yeah. How many know a woman who has children who needs to be saved? Let me see your hand. Hands all over. How many know that Mother's Day is coming up and it's more than just a day where we give a woman a boutonniere? And a cupcake. Happy Mother's Day. Baloney, are you saved? Now, you can't be that brazen about it, but that's what our goal has to be. And so God's given us a vision for evangelizing mothers on Mother's Day. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pull out all the stops and we're going to get them. We're going for the mothers to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, every mother to be saved. Hallelujah. And I don't care what I have to do. If I got to give away a 3-day cruise to the Bahamas to get you here. No, I can't do that. We're going after the fathers. How many have a father that needs to be saved? How many know a man with children that needs to be saved? That's in June. How many know we need to save them? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away a brand new, listen to this, Michael, this is awesome, a brand new Harley Davidson soft tail on Father's Day. That'll get him here. Don't tell him it's a model that you have to put together. Thank you. Okay, turn my mic off, Matt, because I don't want them to hear what I'm about to do. Turn it off. Put it back on. That was way too much information, wasn't it? Now, Pastor Lowell just handed me this because he saw me dripping. Thank you, sir. It helped a lot. Do you want it back? But the only way we're going to reach them is if we pull out all the stops and we save them. And I don't know what all we're going to do, but we got some great plans. We're going to create some environment, going to give some gifts away, going to do what we have to do to get them in the house of God and get them saved. Yeah. Get them out of the bowels of hell and into heaven, right? Yeah. So what we have to do is we have to raise an offering. Why? Because our operations budget doesn't have money for that. All we do is pay for the lights. So I need your help. I need to raise $2,000 this morning. That's not a lot because there's about 1,000 people here. Not really. Maybe 700. Man, I don't know. 500. I don't know how many are here. How many are here? 400? 600? All right, let's just say for evangelistically purposes, there's 1,000 people here this morning. Wow, we had 1,000 people. No, there's not 1,000. There's only 800 seats, and there's a bunch of empty ones. So I need people to come with me and say, Pastor, we're going to give you what I can. Look, if you're going to Burger King this afternoon, fast! You don't need the calories anyway. You don't need the saturated fat anyhow. Come on, shout, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
All of a sudden, we're not as loud and as enthusiastic about being saved because I'm taking an offering. I'm taking an offering, and now we're like, yeah, I'm saved. A minute ago, you're like, I'm saved. But we need to receive this offering. Come on, help us do it. We want to reach out to the lost. How many believe we ought to reach out to the lost?
Amen.
Amen. So make a check out to CNC. Give your biggest offering. I don't know what that is, but do it. Help us. Because you say, well, why don't you just take it out of the tithe and offering? The reason why is because most people don't give tithe and offering. And all we do is pay for basically our budget to operate. Pay the lights, pay the rent. That's all we do. Pay the expenses to get this place going every week. And let me tell you something. Ministry happens every day. Tell it. I can have Pastor Troy come and tell you the heart-wrenching Facebook message he got and I got from a woman whose daughter was in torment. She said, help! Help me! What am I going to do with my daughter? Serious. She wants to kill her dad. She's having nightmares. Help me. My daughter's a heroin addict. Pray for us. Every day it comes in. Every day. Every day. Every day. That's why you give. That's why this ministry is worthy of your giving. Listen, if I was Jesus, I would have upped the ante. I wouldn't have just asked for 10%. He was asking 10% 40 years ago when I got saved. I used to buy a Milky Way when I was a kid for 5 cents. Try to go buy it for 5 cents now. I bought gasoline for 23 cents a gallon. You put a dollar in your tank, you drive all night. It was great. Try that now. And God still asks for 10%. Why? Because it's his economy. He knows that if God's people will do it, there'll be more than enough. I wouldn't even have to take the second offering because we'd have more than enough to do the evangelism. But until we get to that point, would you bless us and would you help the ministry? None of this money is going to go to anything else other than evangelism. It's going to be for the souls of mothers and fathers. Would you help me? Yes. Whatever you can give, $5, $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000. Yeah. That'd be incredible. But let's give it to the Lord right now. Thank you all. Before you give, can you say God bless you and thank you and I owe you? I owe you. Just don't come ask me for anything, but I do owe you, okay? Come on, give them a hand for God bless you for what they did. Thank you. You can go down. Thank you. You can keep the poster board. You can have the poster board. Go ahead and take the offering. I hope we have to go back and get more bags. Wouldn't that be crazy good? Have to go get more bags. I don't think I've ever been in a place that that's happened. Oh, wait a minute, I take that back. I'm not going to tell you about that, though. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Come on, somebody shout, I'm saved!
I'm saved!
Graham Cook is coming. April 23rd and 24th. If you're not registered, get online, register. I think it closes on Monday. We want you to be a part of it. He's a brilliant thinker. He's an apologetic ministry that really defends the gospel well, introduces you into a transformed mind. It's not our conference. Bethel's using our facility, but we're hosting him, and we thought, why not? Let's attend and take, let's cash in on it. The Wailing Wall. You see those little places over here? Everybody look way over here. See it? See that? There's papers in there. You know what that is? That's prayer requests for family members to be saved. That's our little Wailing Wall, because if you went to Israel, there's the Western Wall. The only part of the Temple of Herod that still remains is where the Jews pray, and they kind of do this the whole time. You know, you ever see them? That's our little Wailing Wall. You put that, in Jerusalem, they put in between the blocks of stone, they put prayer requests in there. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to make our own Wailing Wall, and we're going to put prayer requests for people that need to be saved, your family members and ours. And come up on this date, we're going to believe for 3 days of prayer and intercession that God's going to save them. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray. I don't know if you've ever heard of Lou Engle, the call of prayer to around America. Is he going to be here, Pastor Troy? He's going to be here. Jake Hamilton, have you ever heard of the worship leader? I think he's going to be here. Who else is going to be here, Pastor Troy? Do you know who else is coming? Oh, it's up on here. Oh, here they are. Here they are. Okay. It's Lou Engle, Jay Thomas, Richie Clark, Ryan and Nina Landis, Chris Burns, and above all, Jesus Christ. He'll be here as well. So we want you to think about 3 days of prayer. Let's make it a holy consecration. Let's cry out to God on behalf of those that yet need to be saved. Amen. So that's kind of what's happening. Don't forget midweeks. Wednesday night is a love culture instruction. We've got some tremendous pastors. Pastor Andersons, please stand up and look at everybody. This couple is the finest couple that you'll ever want to meet. I'm telling you. Listen, they love Jesus, they know the Word, and they will instruct you in this culture of the kingdom. Because you were born in a kingdom that was counter to the kingdom of God, and you need to learn it. Wednesday night they teach it. Pastor Bramley's, I saw you. There you are. Stand up. Everybody wave at Pastor Bramley. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. I don't know that I've ever met anybody more humble and more of a servant's heart than these. Don't sit down, stand up. They're uncomfortable being talked about. Hearts of gold, wisdom, anointing, just like the Andersons. These pastors are here Wednesday night to instruct you. Don't sit home watching Gunsmoke. And Pastor Troy and Pastor Mary. And Pastor Adam's in there with your youth. Where's Pastor Adam? He was here. Is he had to go? Pastor Adam on Wednesday night with your teenagers. Bring your teenagers. They said they don't want to come. Hog tie them. Say, you're saved and you're going. I don't want to go. Shut up. You're going to make me go? Yes. Well, that's what saved folk do. How many got raised in a home that church attendance was not an option? Now we've got the tail wagging the dog. Come on. Don't you tell me you ain't going. You get in there and get your clothes on right now. Oh, yes, you are. And you're going to praise him too. So you sit there with that long face. If I see you with a long face, you're going to be in trouble. I remember the first time I talked in church. I wasn't even saved. Oh, I'm supposed to stop. But I was in church, and you're not supposed to look behind you in church. It wasn't a saved church. It was just a church. You're not allowed to turn around in church. And I was playing around and turning around and looking. I said, I'm going to look behind me. I don't know what's back there. Because we always sat in the second row, three in. That was my dad's seat. That was my dad's seat because he paid for that pew. He did. His name was on the side of it. Caton. Caton. Lewis Caton. Don't even try to sit in his seat. My dad came in with that old broken English Hungarian self, third grade education. He'd be like, excuse me, move. We sat down up in the second or third row, and I remember the first time I was tempted of the devil, and I turned around and I looked. My mother looked at me and she said, so I turned around, I said, oh man, she saw me. So we get home, she said, now what I tell you about church? We don't turn around, we don't talk in church. You got to listen to what the pastor has to say. I said, yeah, I'm sorry, Mom. She goes, no, you ain't sorry yet. I swear to God, this is the truth. I don't advocate this. This is child abuse. She said, roll up your pant legs above your knee. And she went and got some rice out of the kitchen cupboard on the linoleum floor and sprinkled it down in the corner. She said, now kneel and face the corner. I said, you want me to kneel with no pan on my knee on that rice? Because I looked back in church. She didn't say nothing. She just said, down. And there I went. I'll never do it again, God. Now we got our kids telling us they're not going to go to church. Can somebody help me? Do I got any saved folk in here? I mean, do you really believe there's a heaven and hell? Huh? Does anybody believe there's a real devil out there? Does anybody believe that the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy? Come on, bring your kids to church. Amen. 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 Sing it over. Amen. Come on. Amen. You're saying so be it. Amen. 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 One more time, sing now. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. One last time, amen. Come on. Amen. It's a key of S. Amen. 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 Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. If you need prayer, don't walk out that door. Prayer ministers are going to be here. They love God and they love you. If you're not saved, get saved. God's got a great plan for you. If you got your eyes on the visible, get a transformation this morning and see the invisible. Thanks for putting up with all my enthusiasm today. I appreciate that so much. We'll see you next time. God bless you. We love you. Come on, altar ministers.